Happy Friday, guys. You are tuning in right now to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call. FDN stands for Functional Diagnostic Nutrition. So that's why we say FDN for short. It's a little bit easier, and I think it rolls off the tongue a little bit better. But thanks, guys, for joining us again this week. I'm your, I guess, more regular host. I'm not really like the host, but more regular host, Brandon Mollet, FDN practitioner, you know, first and foremost, but also proud mentor and clinical advisor and all things FDN. I get to do FDN all day long, 5 days a week or however much I want to work. So thanks for being on with me. And I've got a co-host on with me today. You see Brendan's my more regular co-host, but he travels a lot on behalf of FDN and gets our name out there. And so a very worthy replacement today is our good friend and mentor, Tess. So bring her on in a second here to answer some of your questions. And again, just happy to be on with you guys this week. We do this call pretty much every week to connect with you guys, answer some questions, let you know what's going on in FDN land, and just to, again, connect with everybody, because it is September 20th. Just want to say that for the record there, September 20th, 2019. So 2019 is on its way out here. It's coming pretty fast, but still a lot of time to do a lot of good. So keep that in mind. Always around this time of year, it seems like we're reflecting on the year, but don't forget there's many months and days there ahead forward where you can do a whole lot for your business or in the course, right? So set some goals there, put an action plan together, and start walking those things out. That's how things get done. You have to have a plan and some action points that you're going to take with anything in life. So encourage you to be thinking about that, and maybe it's something you want to talk about on the call today. We want to answer questions and help out however we can. That's the FDN support call. I think it's the tagline there on Blog Talk Radio. So it's here to help support you guys, trainees and graduates alike, or hey, if you're looking to take the course also, getting a feel for what we do and what we're about. All right. Well, let's see here. I do have some graduates I want to read off here and congratulate five amazing people today. We'll do that here in a second. But I thought I'd just acknowledge my friend Tess here and see how things are going in her world.
Hello, Brandon. I'm happy to be with you here again this week. I really enjoy when I get a chance to pop in and spend an hour with you. I, too, am that very proud mentor, clinical advisor, and all things FDN 5 days a week. I think we kind of, it just becomes a very much a part of our life, right? And that's a good thing in the sense if we balance our work with you know, our personal life, but we still walk the talk, then it's all good, right?
100%. That is it. It gets me excited to talk about health. I've had many friends and just acquaintances or people I've worked with the business that will kind of apologize for asking me a question about health. And I'm like, I don't mind it. I love talking about it. It gets me excited. It's part of, you know, a call and a mission I feel like I've got here. It's what I'm supposed to be doing. I wake up with, you know, purpose and like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is part of why I'm here. And so why would I be bothered talking about it? You know, yeah, there's some moments where maybe I'm really, really tired and I need to, like you said, have that balance and check out and disconnect from it, because you do need to disconnect from anything, even a good thing like that, for some restoration time. But generally, I'm excited to talk about it because it's something was sparked years ago in me. I'm sure, Tess, it was for you also. Something was sparked years ago in me that's a fuel that you run on, that's just there. And I don't mind answering questions, talking about health rarely at all.
You brought up two points today that I think are super exciting, and if we have time, maybe we should chat about them. And one is the scheduling. I think that, you know, that's a conversation that can have a lot of merit in helping everyone reach their goals, whether it's studying in the course or whether it's their business, and, you know, mapping that out. And the other one is when people ask you, like, you know, and you say they ask you a question and they apologize or they want to talk about it, it reminds me of back in the day, a few years ago, I actually worked in a veterinarian clinic, and if I had to run to the store after work to pick up something and I had my scrubs on, and veterinarian scrubs usually have like a little animal paw or something to identify that they're animal related. It was amazing how many people in line, how many clerks would ask me questions, right, about their pet. I think that as FDNs, we could be sporting some T-shirts or something, right? What could we do out there, right, to open up that conversation? This just made me think about that. That could be a really cool thing, at least
that,
on the days
that
you
is
want
a good point.
Right?
Right, true. That is a good point. I think it's any way you can get yourself out there and let people know that you exist, and there's lots of ways to do that. It still amazes me. I know we're kind of jumping around topics, but on the business side of things, it still amazes me and it embarrasses me a little bit when people say, I didn't know you even did this work, or you existed, or this type of person was even present. You know, that means we've still got some work to do with FDN. I think right now we've got a sort of simultaneous thing going on. We're doing the Friday call, but also Reads On with Dr. Tom O'Brien, doing a webinar right now with him, so one of our speakers for the conference this year, right? So so getting yourself out there is key in whatever format and way that you want to do it, whatever you feel good about, whatever works for you. I think that's our biggest challenge. It's not so much case management necessarily or the aspects of FDN. I think it's mostly business and getting out there and marketing and letting people know that you exist. And it's not a scary thing. It's just because it's not, I don't know, I always feel like with FDN, it's not like we're trying to sell, you know, a gadget or a device or something that people may or may not really need. You know, I'm all about tech and cool products and ingenuity and innovation with anything. But really what I feel like we're bringing to the table is something, you know, way beyond that on so many different levels, because when we ask, you know, when you bring a client on, potentially you ask some questions about to see if they're a good fit for you. If you're in the course, you've done the onboarding practical, you're going to be taught 8 different questions that you ask in a series that starts to find out, really, is that person a good fit for what you're doing, and find out how their health is holding them back. That's really the big thing here. So, yeah, it's all cool. I don't mind products and things like that and consumerism, no big deal to me. But really what we're going to offer is just something so amazing. So I never feel like that marketing or sales, whatever you want to call it, for what we do, feels like what I think most people think about when they think about sales and marketing. It's a different feel. I feel like I'm just trying to rescue some people, you know, that are drowning, that need some help. And
right.
So I'm just throwing life preservers or reaching my hand down. That's the way I feel like when I actually got an event for me personally this weekend that we're headed to, my wife and I, and we'll get to touch a lot of folks. And I just feel like, hey, it's a part of just trying to help people, and there's an exchange of value for that, right? So that's always going to happen there to make it everything balanced. If you've heard Reed talk about that in the course there, I'm sure you have. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I look at it as just a connecting with people and caring about people to market, believe it or not.
Yep. Yeah, and it is amazing how many people still don't know about us. So we just got to keep getting out there.
We do. 100%. So everybody does. All right. All right. Well, hey, let's pause this conversation. Let's congratulate some graduates. And I'll back up here also. So you guys are listening live there. Thanks for listening live here to the call. We get a lot of listeners, and we've had a lot of callers in asking questions. We're welcome callers for sure. So that number to call in, it's 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378 is that number. Just hit 1 on the keypad there, and I will bring you on. We're happy to answer questions, or if you want to make a comment, you can just say hello. You're welcome to do that. Last few weeks, we've had mostly callers. We haven't even gotten to written-in questions. And so either way, we'll handle the questions either way and help support you guys. But, again, that number there is if you want to call in. But I do want to read off some graduate names here before I forget about this. I'd like to get it there toward the beginning because it's a highlight of the week. It totally is. So if you make your way through those videos, and well, first of all, if you take the plunge and take the chance and jump in there and take the course, I don't think it's a very big risk, but it's a good one to take. The payoff is big. Jump in there and take the course. You decide to do that, make a change for whatever reason it is. Make your way through several hundreds of hours of videos, I think, at this point. A lot of hours of videos, right? So we train you well. And then you battle through me and Tess and Brendan and Christy and Shannon and Sandra and all the mentors there. Battle through those practicals with us. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. Battle through those. Complete a quite a hefty written examination. And then you'll make it through the verbal final, then you get to be called a graduate of FDN. So a lot of steps there. Don't let it intimidate you. You take it one step at a time. But it tells you that when a person gets to this point, they've done a lot of work and they've proven themselves, not only to us, but to themselves also. And so we want to say congratulations to these five people, ladies, in fact, that have graduated the course this week. I'm happy to say congratulations to Michelle Meyer from Montana, Amy Witten from South Carolina, Grace Akkad, and she's in Mexico. So that's not too many FTM practitioners down there at the moment, so glad to see her paving the way down there. Nikki Hofflin, she's from Idaho, and then Frankie Lee from Oregon. So, guys, we're spread throughout North America there. That's tremendous, guys. Congratulations to you. Great work.
Yeah. Congratulations, ladies. Great job. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Super cool. You know, Montana, not too many in Montana. Idaho, so Midwest they're representing. And then we got either coast and Mexico. So it's all over. I'm just got the map in my mind there. We're all over the place, international included. We hear a lot of international folks too. But that just says that people need our help, right, all over the world. That's a kind of the bad thing about it, but it's also a good thing that we've got some solutions for them. Cool. All right. Let's see here. I do want to mention, of course, the FDN conference. We're going to continue to do that every week there. It's coming up super quick now, right? So a little over a month away, right? November 1st through the 3rd in San Diego. So we had one last year. It was our 10th anniversary. This year it's our second conference. If you don't know about it, because I'm still talking to some trainees and graduates that weren't really aware of that and hadn't made plans yet. So something you definitely need to consider doing. We had an absolute blast last time. We learned a whole bunch. We connected with some wonderful people. Got to see a lot of you guys face-to-face in a pretty close setting, right? It's not like some huge arena and stage where you don't have any access to people and you just see them from afar. It's a small group, right? So we're not in the thousands as far as the conference goes yet, but in the hundreds. And so that means you have a lot of access to everybody, us as a staff and Reed, of course, to our speakers, and, of course, to other FTM practitioners. So it's something that will take your business and your faith and belief in what you do as far as this business goes to another level. These events like this, they just have that effect, right, coming together all together. So check it out. FDNconference.com is that website there. November 1st to the 3rd, 2019 in San Diego. I think there maybe are still some hotel rooms still available. I believe there's some tickets left, too. And usually we have some specials going on, so I think bring a friend right now is what's going on, too. We want to make sure that people know about FDN. We had several people in the course that last year that were thinking about taking the course. Once they came to the event, to the conference, they said, okay, this is definitely for us. And so you can help take a person on this journey and get to this point here and be connected with us. So looking forward to that. Guys, make your plans to do that. Get your tickets, accommodations there. You have a great time. Lots of cool speakers, like I said, Tom O'Brien there. FDNconference.com. So make sure you check it out. You can come hang out with me and Tess. We'll be there. All right. Well, good stuff. Let's see here. So, yeah, that's the main stuff. I don't know, Tess, am I forgetting any big announcements before we jump into some questions?
No, just, you know, what's going on in AFDNP? What do we have coming up? Want to just remind people that we send out, if you're a member of AFDNP, we do send out a newsletter every week letting you know what's up, what's coming up. But I think we have a detective hour coming up, right? Am I right?
Probably we do. Detective hour coming up there. And Brenda's always got new speakers on. I didn't look at the list there. Usually rely on him to do that.
You.
So I've dropped the ball here. I've dropped the ball on that.
I'll look for you and see if I can. I'll find those real quick. But I'm pretty sure we have a detective hour coming up soon. And
yeah,
of course,
and
always we want to, yeah, we always want to check out the Real Results Show every week on Facebook Live.
Indeed, and those are shows there that we need your help with. These aren't just hey us coming on there and talking like we are now. You guys make actually all our shows, right? Even this show, the written in questions, the callers that come in, but. Those detective hours and those real results shows, that's you guys. We're trying to highlight you guys, the work you're doing, or to talk about FDN and your business, and also to get some help, right? So that's one of the things that I hear, you know, as I'm sure you and I both do. You know, yeah, you've been through the course, you've done all we've asked you to do, and you've proven yourself, but people still wonder, do I know this well enough? You know, am I really as good as you guys say that I am? Is the understanding there? And so part of what we say is, hey, you know what? It's okay. That confidence will grow with time, just with like anything else that you do. We know that you know the information, but we have a great, I'll say great for sure, I think we're all part of that. We all put a lot of effort into it. Great postgraduate support. So once you actually graduate, you've got many ways to get support and help, not only with business side of things, but also just help with cases. There's no reason why you have to go into any results session with a client without having some help from us to review it if you want to do that. That's fine. And not so much that you don't know it, it's just, hey, two heads are better than one, right? So I love to have those sessions there and brainstorm. We're all sharing that knowledge and information. That's how our community works. So a lot of sharing of information, just trying to help each other be better because, you know, competition isn't something that really is on the radar. We don't have, you know, 12 FDNs in a town that are fighting over 100 clients, right? So we've got enough FDNs that there's plenty of people to help and to focus on. So it's all about collaboration rather than competition. It's the way that we see it. I think the only competition is with yourself. How can you be better? How can you do your business better? How can you be more efficient or be better as a practitioner? So I think it's the competition is within ourselves.
All right. I have the list here. I have the list here, Brandon. Coming up on September. Yeah, but coming up on September 25th, we have Detective Hour with Sharon Holland Gelfand. And on September 26th, we have Dr. Jill Carnahan will be speaking with us. And then, of course, you don't want to forget about, as I said, our Real Results show that happens usually. Is that every Monday, approximately? I think so. And then I don't want to forget to mention that FDN just launched a new advanced course.
Oh, thank you.
Did you see that? Yeah. Do you remember that
I
news?
I did.
Pretty
thank
exciting
you
news.
That. Yes, my goodness.
Yeah.
Lots going on.
Yeah. So we will be, if any of you were at the conference last year, Lori Rose actually spoke to us. She did a session on understanding the energetics of using herbal remedies, and it was phenomenal. I sat in on that session, and she is I'm a fangirl for Lori because I'm an herbalist, and I do, and she really speaks my language. But she's an amazing, like she is, like she's like a genius in herbs. I'm telling you, and in natural medicine type approaches. And she just released a course through FDN called The Advanced Guide to Mitochondria. And so if you didn't get the newsletter about that, make sure you head over to the website, go to our advanced courses, and check that out because it's one you're not going to want to miss.
Thank you for mentioning that. You totally saved me on that one. Yes, I saw that come through, and I'd marked it to come back around and take a look at that. It's awesome. And get that email there. There's a webinar that sort of gives you an introduction into that. And right now, we do have a special offer there. When you purchase that course, you can get a second advanced course at half off. But that ends on the 30th, which is what is today? Today's the 20th, so you got like a
Monday,
week, right?
Next
so
Monday.
Yeah.
For Monday.
That's right. So you got a
Monday.
Yep. So watch the timing on that. But that's a good deal there, guys. Those courses there. We don't talk too much about those. And this call isn't just a big commercial for what we have, but I do want to mention some of these things because they're tools to help you, right? So those courses there, that's FDNs, right? We're all always learn freaks, and we want to learn more and more and get more advanced. And so we wanted to help supply some of those things that aren't in the base course, right? So that's where the FDN Advanced modules came. So those are all individual packaged together self-contained trainings based on different topics. And so sometimes, you know, you don't need a 100-hour course necessarily on certain topics. You just need something brief, compact, very practical. And so that's what we've done with our FDN Advanced courses there. So now we've got, I think that's six right now. We've got seven coming up with Brendan doing an oat one. So we're getting those up there. They're very super super helpful, very practical. The one on thyroid and one on functional blood chemistry are a couple of my favorite there. This mitochondria one has really piqued my interest. I can't wait to take this this course here. We're adding more things to it. You guys are asking about organic acids, so we're going to supply that there. Great modules. And then also, on top of that, just purchasing those alone and what they add to your practice very much pays for itself. But in addition to that, we're working on the details of an FDN Level 2 certification. And that Level 2 certification involves taking these advanced courses and building these things up to a certain number. I think it's going to be 6 courses. And then you'll have an FDN Level 2 certification. So taking that up a notch there with some additional trainings that, again, are done not just training for, you know, learning's sake and academics' sake. It's for practicality to bring it into your business and help people with that. You know, functional blood chemistry, we see a lot of blood results. I'm sure you do. Even though we're running the 5 basic labs there, you're going to see a lot of blood chemistry out there. So it would be nice to be able to take that and say, hey, that's not a useless piece of paper. I can take that and I can start to pull some information from that to give us some more insight into what's going on or just corroborate what we're seeing on the other lab results. So check it out. That's a page there, FDN Advanced Modules. You'll see those little standalone modules. It's something you can purchase anytime that you want to. So you don't have to be graduated. We always suggest you focus on the course and get through that. But if you want to take the course, grab a course, you can do that. And especially right now, that's a pretty good deal we've got going on right now with those courses. So, Tess, thanks for saving me on that one, reminding me.
You are welcome. I'm just glad I remembered it, too. I was pretty excited when I seen that come through because, as I said, Lori is a phenomenal herbalist and teacher, so that's definitely one that's on my radar as well. Awesome. Well,
exactly.
It's really easy for people to overlook these emails. I don't know about you, but I get dozens of emails every day, and so I think that just reminding you that we're sending out that information, and if you're not seeing it, make sure you check. If you're, going
yes.
in your spam box or if you're just overlooking it, because you don't want to miss out on some of these really great opportunities that we're working on for you.
Indeed. Indeed. Amen to that. All right. Well, let's run through some questions here. We've got easily over half an hour to answer some questions here. I've got several that were written in there that we've been trying to get to, but we've had so many awesome callers there on the call. So, again, if you want to call in and ask a question, that's 347-637-1378. Or if you're on the line right now, I see you guys lined up there. If you want to ask a question, just hit 1 on the keypad. That'll notify me that you want to come on, and I will bring you on and get your name and where you're calling from and answer a question or questions. Sometimes there's some follow-up ones. We don't mind that, too. So, all right, let's see here. I'm going to there's a series of questions that I've been trying to get to here from last week, I think, that were good, and they sort of all fall in the same vein. And so I'm going to read, 1, 2, all these questions right here and see if we can sort of talk about this a little bit. I think this is something Tess likes to think about, too, and I do, too. So this is just how do we assess and do our intake forms? How do we get a feel for who this person is, right? So, this is, of course, fundamentally on interpretation and of lab work. Right? That's what we're kind of our claim to fame as far as a practitioner. We do labs. We run labs, right? Test, don't guess. But the other half of that is who is this person? Whose test results are these? So there's the combination of these things. And that combination, knowing how to interpret a lab and then in together with a puzzle piece, who is this person, that leads to much more accurate interpretation and much more effective and beneficial protocols for your client. So when you're having your client to fill out all these intake forms, you ask them tons and tons of questions about everything, about what they eat and how they sleep and their sex life and what their poop looks like and how much water they drink and all these crazy questions we ask people, it's for a reason. This is the we have to have that part of the puzzle to do a really good job. So you don't want to shortcut either one of those. You want to make sure you're running enough lab work to give you the insight that you need, but you also want to make sure you're getting enough information from that person to get an accurate feel for who this person is, right? So questions I've had written in here are a few of them. So first person asks, when reviewing the questions asking the medical history, how do we interpret their answers and use the information in our investigation? Or do we just use this info in our case notes to share with advisors? I know in other programs we used a manual that explained what the questions and answers meant and how they impact the individual's health. Second one here was I was just browsing through the follow-up documents, and there are many self-assessments. The question is, so what? There are no benchmarks. Am I to assume that if they score anything on these, they should have issues? Seems like the symptoms could relate to numerous things. Surely we have a benchmark to understand this. Or is it just a recording device when one knows they have a diagnosed issue such as thyroid issues? And then the third one here is, okay, I'm gradually working on my practical for Brad. When we're reviewing the client's medical history form, do we focus on the items currently ranked 4 to 5 or any item that they score? So information and gathering information, there's many ways to do that. We provide you in the course several different documents that you can use to gather information. And it's really nice because they do quantify and put things in the numerical forms and scores in different categories. And that's helpful because, you know, with some people, a person could have 400 or 500 total points. If you're taking the Mastering Metabolic Chaos course, you talk about metabolic chaos, have a whole lot of points, a lot of things going on there. And it's a lot to keep up with, right? If your mentality is to chase symptoms, then you're going to be chasing a whole lot of symptoms. And so we really want to focus on what the person, kind of the big thing I want to say here is that you want to focus on a limited amount of symptoms. Not that we are putting less value on the other symptoms that we have, but you really want to try to get it down to the major symptoms. So we really ask for the top maybe 5 to 10 symptoms maybe that you're sort of focusing on that you're going to sort of come back around to. There are other things like on the numbers there, if you want to look at 4s and 5s of the highest rated symptoms there for a person, you can maybe put those into the mix. But so much of the way we work, right, is that we don't chase those symptoms, is that things are all interrelated. So if I have a person that comes to me and we'll just say the person has, you know, testing, you know, this number like 500 ASI or medical history points or metabolic chaos scorecard points. A lot of symptoms, a lot of things there going on. They're really suffering. A lot of things going on. I know that probably within the first month or so, those points might be probably going to be cut in half, right? So did I have to know every single symptom that's going on and keep in mind that went to a 2 to a 1, this one went to a 4 to a 1, and have all these little details there? No, I think you need to get the overall picture. Keep in mind we are generalists in the way we work. We don't get specific on purpose, right? So general recommendations outperform specific ones every single time, especially in my experience. Every single time it's going to outperform that. So if all those points have cut off and gone away and you're down to 250 points all of a sudden now, well, it's a whole other ballgame. So you're sort of starting over again with this person. You're looking at this in new light. We've got 250 points here. Let's go from here and keep working. Because we don't chase those symptoms, we're working in this nonspecific manner. We're looking at the labs we've got here, looking at the intake form side of things, and we're just trying to remove stress from the body because the body can heal itself if it is given the right conditions to do so. And that's what you're trying to create in a person is the right conditions for the body to restore function. And when function is restored, you don't have those signals from the body called symptoms, right? Those will start to go away. So the point I'm making here with this is that, yeah, it's important to know those things and note those and let a person think through that and take the time to process through and realize what's going on in their body. But at the same time, you can't get too down in the weeds with the individual numbers and individual symptoms because they're also interrelated. I'll shut up here in a second. One more example I'll give. I'll let Tess have the floor on this one. But let's just say the person starts to let's say they had a standard American diet, and now they go and they eat just a whole food diet, not even metabolic typing, not even MRT, anything too fancy in that. Just that one shift right there, how many improvements can occur in the body because of that? Numerous, right? A person could have a major improvement in how they're feeling just by making some smart dietary changes. That's the power of what we're doing here. So just that one fact alone can make a big, big difference. And so some of the individual symptoms won't matter. They'll be gone. You won't have to deal with those anymore because you've restored function by giving the body the what it's designed to run on.
Yeah, Brandon, I think that's a very important point right there. There's something that I think it's overlooked sometimes when we're thinking about digging deeper and we're you know, we're running labs and we're looking for these hidden stressors in the body, I think it's really, really easy to overlook the fact that how many people that are coming to you for help don't even do the basic things. Like a whole foods diet is definitely one of them, but what about drink enough water, right? How many people actually are hydrated and are hydrating themselves? How many people actually are like going, you know, getting to bed on time? How, you know, how many people are setting boundaries to manage stress? I mean, there's just so many basic things that we have to work on, which is why Reed gave us stress, because that's the things people aren't doing. And it's the simplest things that can make those big shifts. And like, Brandon, you're so correct. So those simple shifts or those simple things will make the shift to start to alleviate some of those really common symptoms. And so that is very true. Very, very true.
Mm-hmm. So those symptoms are going to go down, right? Those symptom points are going to go down. So that's something where with the intake forms, they're all there where you can do an initial run through of symptoms, and then you have your client to fill it back out again, maybe every month or 2 months or 3 months, whatever you think is necessary, and they can put some more points in there and see where you're at, reevaluate things. Where are we looking? You know, we forget how bad we once felt. It's an interesting thing that happens with people. They forget, oh, hey, I used to have all these headaches. Like every other day I had a headache. And then when the headache's not there, sometimes you forget and don't realize that, hey, you don't have that headache anymore. So it is nice to go back around and look at those main complaints again and discuss those. I'll do that with every coaching session I have with the client. We're going to go through main complaints every single time. Maybe start out there. Say, hey, because they're coming to us to deal with some of their main complaints, right? We know that it's not just about symptom relief, and we can, you know, hit the mark with some herbs and some intelligent allopathy and make a person feel better with some supplementation. That's cool to do. You know, nothing wrong with that. Some doesn't need to be our only goal. It's just to make them feel better. So it's the deep down work that you need to get to. And that's the deep down work we do with the lab test, and it tells us the why. You know, okay, we've got all these symptoms, but you know, why are these happening? What's the underlying malfunction that's present that's causing the body to, again, speak to us? That's what those symptoms are, those points they're putting there. That's the way that person's body is speaking to them and saying, hey, something's not right here. I need you to help me out. I need some assistance here. That's your body's way of saying that. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's not so subtle, right? That's just each person individually. So when you're going through those there, you can assess what's going on, how things are improving. But ultimately, you know, it's going to be down to the DRESS protocol. That's what we use. That's our tool: diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, and supplementation. In the course, we teach you how to, you know, put that together. Put together a really good DRESS protocol that a person can carry out and complete. And it's about behavioral change. We won't lie. You've got to make some changes. You can't keep doing what you're doing and expect to get some different results. That's just an obvious thing, right? So if I look at my life and I see some area that's not working so well, you know, most of the time I'd say it's probably my fault, right? Yeah, there are things out of our control sometimes in life and things like that happen, but a whole lot of what's going on in our lives is because of choices we've made or things we've not done, maybe things we didn't know. And maybe that's the biggest focus, because I think people want to be healthy, but they don't know. So that's where education comes in. That's what we do a lot of, right? We're educating people.
You know, Brandon, I think that also brings up, I mean, when we're looking at those intake forms, they actually can serve us on multiple levels. You know, we're not looking for diagnosis. That's not what we take those intake forms for. And like you've just explained, they really start to help paint that picture for the client as they're making progress. But I think they can be a great tool as well. One of my favorite tools that's in the course that I think we'd be remiss not to remember is the physiological aspects of metabolic chaos chart. And taking these numbers, as we look at them on the intake forms, especially the metabolic chaos chart form, and educating our clients on where some of these complaints actually originate, you know, where they're, I call it a snapshot of what stress looks like in the body for them at the time they filled out that form, right? Because when we're matching up those systems, the metabolic chaos to the metabolic chaos chart, it is. It's kind of a snapshot view of what stress looks like in their body. So it's not that we're chasing symptoms. It's really to bring an awareness to our clients. I call it kind of opening up, making a paradigm shift for them, helping them start to think about their body in a more connected way instead of that kind of Western medicine model of everybody's just a different, you know, they're just a heart. They're just a, you know, we go and we see specialists for these different little things rather than seeing how the body's connected and how that stress is, can cascade into total metabolic chaos. And that paradigm shift is extremely important in my mind to get our clients to be more compliant to the dress protocol. Once they start to understand the connections in the stresses in their body and how one can interact with the other, I think that it really helps to drive that commitment level.
100%. I agree with that totally. Where you really, those intake forms are you're educating.
They're a great tool.
You're educating them through having them do an intake
tool.
Form.
Mm-hmm. They're a great tool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also, it's like a measurement for us too. Not only for them, we can see that we have them on the right track. Let's say things aren't shifting in some areas where they re-answer those questions about their main complaints. That opens up the door for us to check back in with them and see what they're not doing for dress, you know, where they're lacking. So it's all the way around. They're just there for you to use as tools.
Indeed. And a good point there too is tools, right? So maybe you don't use every single one of them or just, you know, every self-screen tool. Maybe you don't use every single one of those. They're there to be used, but you've got to get a, kind of like with lab testing, you have to get a minimal amount of information to get good results, and we don't want to shortcut that, and even shortcutting the intake process. I think it's important if your clients won't sit down and take a look at that intake form and think about what they've eaten for 3 days and write that down for you and go through their symptoms and tell you about their stress that's in their life and mark points for that and really take an assessment and stock of life, that's kind of a red flag. I know people are busy. I totally get that. I like busy people. Busy people get things done, right? So, but at the same time, everybody's going to have to slow down, take stock of what's going on, and really evaluate life and say, okay, again, is what I'm doing right now getting me where I want to get to? And most people have come to that realization already once they start to work with you. During that onboarding call, they should have to come to that realization already. I'm ready to make some changes because I have to. Because whatever symptom I'm dealing with or lack of malfunction, it's holding me back in some area in my life. And that's the ultimate motivator, I think. If I can't work or if I can't be who I need to be to my family or to friends or whatever you spend your day doing, just enjoying life, if those things aren't present, that's your motivator. And that's when you make the changes. And, you know, once that ball gets rolling, things get really actually easier, I feel like. You know, there's little bumps along the way there, but generally you get that momentum going. An analogy that Bill Wolcott used to make often on the Friday call here was if you're going to turn like a big cargo ship or a cruise ship, you can't turn it quite like a speedboat, like on a dime, right? You're going to have to slow that big, massive weight momentum down, make that turn, and then speed back up, get momentum again. And that's a lot of how it goes with the health of the body. So, you know, it's a basic example, but that's how you're going to see your clients pretty often. That's the way I talk to them about that, is that, hey, we're going to be in the first part here where we're slowing things down, making some big shifts in your biochemistry and life. Body's going to be like, whoa, what's going on here? And then we start to make this turn, and we're working together on that. And once that turn is made and you start to build back up the momentum, hopefully I'm needed less and less as a practitioner because, like Reed said, hopefully you've taught them everything you know in 3 months. You know, hey, here's what I know for you to do. Here's it. This is what you should be doing. And then the person's body will go from there, right? So we get that momentum going. It's got the weight off of it, and you're going to run faster and faster and get that speed up there. And hopefully they are continuing to see improved health even after they stop working with you in, quote, a program or a package or direct intense work with you. You've taught them. You've taught them what things do, how to think. Doesn't mean they couldn't come back to you and check in every once in a while and see how things are going as far as lab work goes, but that's what we're trying to do, and that's often what you will see. So we've got you have to have that as a practitioner, that roadmap in mind. where are we going here, and what are you expecting to see? And again, back to the intake forms, it gives you some insight there, how things are shifting and changing. All right, maybe we answered that question. I'm going to look at them real quick again to see if there's anything specific within there. But I think a lot of times we get really specific questions, and sometimes specific questions really are better answered in a general way. So we don't want to, you know, feed you a fish. We want to teach you how to fish. So hopefully some of the things we've laid down here principle-wise with this helps answer some of those questions for you better there. But I guess, how do I use this? How do I use these numbers? It's something that as you're moving through the course, you'll be taught how to do that, and it's something that you will develop also over time. You know, I was always amazed when I first was in the course and had first graduated, I would, be presented with a case, and within, you know, hardly any time at all, it seemed like, less than a minute or something, he already had an impression of everything that was going on, and it was crazily accurate. Like, how does he do this? I'm just now looking at the numbers here. And a lot of you guys probably feel that way, too, when you're first starting out or you're in the course. Like, slow down a little bit. I'm not even anywhere near there. That's what comes with time and experience. And it's just the way you train yourself to look and assess things. So that will come, the more that you do those things. So do delve into those intake forms. Learn how to use those, what's going on there. And then also, of course, your practical sessions that you have with mentors, right? That's where you're going to get to use that information, those intake forms, and see how it applies. That's why we do the practical sessions. A lot of people have that epiphany, like, why do I have to do these? I've rehearsed this in my head a million times. I've listened to it 2 million times. Why do I actually have to go through and speak this out? It's amazing when you're actually asked to do that, what different things go on in your mind, and actually don't maybe know it as well as you maybe think you did. Or you are trying to find your way of how you're going to speak those things out. That's where that rehearsal and that practice and that role play get you to that point. So you've got to go through that process. As uncomfortable and odd as it may be, sometimes to do that, we've all been through it because we've all taken the course. We've had to do that with somebody. And it's a powerful thing. So don't neglect that that aspect of it. But those impression forming skills, those will be quicker and quicker. So instead of taking you all day to put together a recommendation and a dress protocol, it'll take a lot less time than that. So hang in there. All right. Tess, anything about intake forms you want to add before we shift gears to another question?
No, I think that was pretty thorough.
Okay.
I think we got it.
Cool. Hopefully that was helpful, guys. All right. Very good. All right. Let's see. Here's another one that might be, we're kind of touching on some of these aspects here today, but here's one. I'll check. All right, no hands raised, guys. No brave folks today here. That's okay. You're welcome to grab it anytime you want to. Have about 15 minutes in the call, so now is probably the time to ask a question if you want to. We'll get to that. So this question here, this is a trainee, sounds like. They're preparing for the onboarding role play. So this is where we teach you how to ask those 8 powerful questions and determine if that person's a good fit for you and what you're going to do with them, and bring them on board as a client, work through your packages and the pricing, some of those things. I don't know, I'm loving that practical. It's one of my favorites now, to go through that process with somebody, because I do it myself all the time, right? New people coming on and doing a free consultation, seeing if they're a good fit or not. Super fun. Maybe it's the unknown and never know what that person is going to say to you. But so that's what he's talking about here. So one question is explain how I work as an FDN. Module 12, Reed goes over that question. So this is what this person said. They said, as you heard in my workshop recently, as an FDN practitioner, we never diagnose conditions or treat symptoms. Instead, we run a series of well-chosen lab tests which give insight into hidden stressors in your body you may be experiencing. Labs give us a picture of how your body is functioning in these key areas. We then work together, as I explain, hopefully educate you a little about the results of the lab tests and how they correlate with how you're feeling at present. Next question, is this too much? From here, I tell the client how we charge. So that was their take at talking about how we work. listening to that, what do you think, Tess? Does that sound like a pretty good description of how we work as FTM practitioners? Would it be understandable for the average person that's not a practitioner themselves?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Yeah, I think that's one of those things that it takes time to kind of develop that, don't you? Like, you kind of have to,
mm-hmm.
you have to talk about it a little bit before it sort of starts to flow for you.
You do. And I think it's a little different for each person. I think who I'm talking to, I'm picking up on different things from them, and sometimes it'll be a little bit more customized for them or what I've asked some questions and got a feel for, right? So when you're going through those questions, you don't just tell them, you don't walk up and say, hey, I'm an FDN practitioner, I run labs, blah, blah, blah. You're going to start out with, hey, you know, do you have any health issues that you would like to see changed, or something about the way you, I think what's Reed say, look, feel, or think? I think look or feel that you'd like to change. You know, I think we all have some things we like to feel differently, maybe look a little differently. You start up with
I
that
got a
and
few.
You just listen.
Yeah,
right. Sure,
yeah.
We all do, right? We can't all look like Brendan. Not that you want to look like
Brendan,
right? But I'm just teasing. Maybe he'll hear me, right? So, yeah, we've all got some things we want to change and improve. So you start out by listening first. And so that's the first thing, is to find out where this person is coming from, what they're dealing with, what they've tried so far, a little of their history, right? So not an hour's worth of history, but a basic feel for where they're at, because you can size people up pretty quickly once you get used to looking at things. So people pretty much have done, I think, one of three things. They've done nothing for their health, right? They're just bowling around and going with whatever is in the culture and whatever is advertised on TV, whatever at all. They've been on the medical route. And they tried to band-aid some things and tried to use the medical system to be a preventative way and for health insurance, probably to no avail, or they're on a bunch of medications, right? Or they've started to understand how they can treat their body differently, and they can take their health into their own hands, what they can do. And so they're in that pathway there, which is any three of those, I think, have potential for a person to work with you. If they start to understand philosophically. So I just start out with a conversation about, you know, philosophically, do we agree in the way that we address health and work on the body? You know, this is, you know, they're talking about how we work there. I want to make sure we have a philosophical agreement there in the way we want to address the body, that we're not going to chase symptoms, that we want to find out why and the root causes of some symptoms. We're not going to just Band-Aid everything going on. I want to make sure that we agree with the approach, because if you don't agree with the approach, then there's going to be some expectations the person has if that are going to be incorrect. And what I mean by that is, most of the time, what we think about a medication, a prescription, very fast acting, right? Happens really quickly. You feel that thing go away or something change or shift. You see change in numbers very quickly. They might be expecting something super quick, or maybe they're used to doing some crash diet and they, you know, lose 7 pounds over the weekend or 20 pounds in 3 weeks, and they're like, oh, this is awesome. And then the weight doesn't come off, you know, as that quickly as an FTM practitioner working with us. It can sometimes, but doesn't come off that quickly. They're going to feel like, well, this isn't working. So I think you've got to make sure those expectations and philosophical approach is met, that, you know, this takes some time. There's some shifts that are going to have to occur in what you're doing and your life, but you've got to know that really it's the only way. That's what I feel like a person's got to come down to, is that, yeah, we use the medical system as we need to. We use it judiciously. We're not anti-doctor, anti-medicine at all. But ultimately, it's going to take some time, and it's the only way to do it. It's the only way to have a chance at being really healthy, is to do the things we talk about within the dress protocol. That is what it comes down to. That's the pillars. And so I really start there to make sure, hey, yeah, we align with how we are philosophically agree with how we're going to address our health and how we're going to work through that. That's my first step after listening to them. Philosophically, do we agree? And then I think you can get into, okay, well, if we agree on this, I know I can help you. I think a lot of those, you know, things are there. Then you can move into, okay, well, how's this whole system work? How's this come together to work? And so then you can intertwine some of your philosophical way that we work, way we look at the body, but then you're going to get down a little bit into the mechanics of it. But even then, I think you can go too far with that too, and go into too much science and too in-depth and scare people off, or, you know, just like, well, that was a little bit more information than what I could handle. You got to watch that too. So you got to find a balance with that also.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good point. I think that, especially new grads, I think that's, they're really excited to share everything they know. And the person they're talking to, like, has no clue what they're talking about. They can get a little bit overwhelmed. They're like, whoa, what Kool-Aid were you drinking, right? A little bit too much. But I think it's a good rule of thumb to remember. So when we think about, you know, new clients and who we want to work with, you know, we have the skills to help just about anybody, but sometimes we want to narrow it down just a little bit to think about, you know, who are we comfortable working with too? Like for some people, maybe it's going to be only like of same sex, you know, like women working with women sometimes, or men working with men. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to. I'm just saying that sometimes that will happen. Or perhaps you're a practitioner that really is called to work with children, or a specific, you know, kind of thinking along the lines of a little more specific complaints. So that's going to dictate a little bit how you share as well. But you have to remember that that person isn't you. Like, for instance, if you were on a health journey when you started going through the course and you were looking for answers as well as wanting to become a practitioner, you have to remember how you felt before you got the answers. When you're talking to someone who doesn't have the answers, right? Because when you can kind of step back and put yourself in their shoes a little bit and remember what that felt like before you knew all that you know now as an FDN coach, then you can start to think about what are they really looking for? You know, what could I share with them that's going to be at a level that they'll understand without overwhelming them, but yet piques their interest enough that they want to know more?
Very good point there also. Super. That's part of understanding the person there. Think about where they're at. Don't read advises this, and I do too. Don't give them a million suggestions during this conversation here. Well, here, you can do this and this and this and this. That's not the time for that. We're just trying to see if this person is a good fit for what you're doing. Suggestions will come later, and then also maybe they're just not ready for those suggestions. Maybe if you give them four things to do, they're already overwhelmed. They think, wow, okay, this is how it's going to be to work with Tess. Boy, she's moving too fast for me. I don't think I want this. You can turn somebody off there. I think, think about the person.
You know, you know when you don't feel well, procrastination or lack of commitment and follow-through is one of the biggest problems that you face because you just... It's not that you don't want it. It really is a brain-body connection issue. It comes down to a lot of neuroscience, really. Start thinking about it like that. But so if you do overwhelm them, I mean, you want to give them enough. You want them to understand that you can help them, but you don't want to teach them how to be an FDN at that very first meeting. And you probably
right.
don't want to teach them how to be an FDN as you're coaching them. So you have to find that balance. And come back to the level at where they're at. Meet them where they're at with the conversation.
I tell people the onboarding, even during R&Rs, you know, if you want to go deep into the science, I can go there. I'd be happy to. But also leave that up to me. That's what you're paying me for, right, to understand the science and to evaluate all this and put it down into action steps that you can take. Some people are just about, okay, I get it, just tell me what to do. And you got to talk to that person. And other people, they like to know the why behind it. I like to hear the science behind it. That's motivating. Education is motivating. Different for different people. Just because maybe you like the education that motivates you may not be for your client. So knowing the person you're talking to there, and you'll know them pretty quickly. You'll size them up real quickly and know what's going on. That's a good point for sure, knowing who you're talking to. And we're all different. We're not all made and operate and think the same.
Yeah, you know, and like we said, the more that you do this, the more comfortable you will become talking about it, the more you talk about it, and you'll start to read people and get a feel for it. But it does take practice, and it takes a little experience. And so it's kind of like I tell trainees, I don't know about you, Brendan, but I tell trainees when we have their R&R session, and then they're preparing for their practical. I'm like, I know that yours isn't going to sound exactly like mine, but you have to remember how many times that I have completed, that I have done one of these sessions. And so you'll get there, but you have to put the time in. You know, there's something like, I heard recently statistics show you have to do something like 10,000 hours to actually be an expert at it. So you got to put the time in.
Mm-hmm. You do. And that's where I hope you guys, when you get into this, I guess that goes back to something we were talking about in the beginning, is that if this is what you're supposed to be doing and your purpose and what you're here to do and there's a passion and a spark inside you there, then it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get extra good at where you think you're super good at it. We all have our self-doubt, right? So it doesn't matter, because this is what you're supposed to be doing. And so I think we don't want to be too flaky, right? So if you graduate the course there in the first, you know, 2 months, you don't have 100 clients underneath your belt, that's okay. It's all right. Give it some time. Stick with that. Keep going. It's not always going to happen super fast. But if you give up too early, you never get to enjoy the fruits of the labor.
And 100 clients under your belt in the first month, you'd probably you'd be back in the course asking for help, because you'd be burned out, Brandon.
Probably.
That's a lot of people.
Or you didn't screen people very well. You probably tuck on some people maybe you shouldn't have. I mean, to go back and address maybe what you're promising folks, right? I like talking about some of these type of questions here on the call, almost more fun than going through protocols and supplements and things like that. We answer a lot of questions about those things, but I think this is some of the things people need to talk through. This is some of the questions that, and Tessa, you and I get during mentoring sessions. So yeah, we've got to cover the actual exercise, the practical, and the role play, but they always have some questions. And so these are some of the questions that I hear, you know, pretty often. And we've had to work through these ourselves, Tess and I have, you know, as practitioners and finding our way. And so that's why I don't mind these questions, because this is what we've already worked through, and we're happy to share our insight into that. But you still have to find your own way. You still got to grind it out yourself. That's something there. Nobody can do it for you. Well, you've still got to work through those things yourself. And then again, once you come out the other side, it's going to be good. But I tell you, as far as trainees go, some of the most disciplined people, I'd say, out there, the most committed folks, I think, because most people have made a lot of changes with their health and they're super committed. And so take those skills there, and you're going to apply it to the business side of things. And hopefully, you know, through the course, you're getting healthier and feeling more energized, and it sort of, again, all just builds that momentum, like we're talking about with the ship turning and moving the other direction. That's the momentum you get with the course too, while you're moving through that. It's a neat thing. So just, you know, don't give up. It sounds sort of cliche. We see it out there, but that's life. You know, keep trying, and then keep trying, and then try again a little different way, or ask for help from a friend, or you know, do a little something different there. You keep moving forward, and you'll get there. Just hang in there. All right. Well, we got about a minute left in the show today, so running low on time here, so I probably don't need to get into another question, but I do want to say congratulations again to our 5 graduates, Michelle, Amy, Grace, Nikki, and Frankie. Proud of you guys, and look forward to you guys getting out there and doing the things we're talking about here today. So getting intake
Absolutely.
Forms in people's hands, doing onboarding calls, and talking about FGN. So, and Tess, again, thanks for coming on with me. You're always such a pleasure to come on. Your insight is awesome. Cool. Years of experience always shows.
Oh, thank you so much, Brandon. It's always a pleasure to come and talk with you, too. And I never know what kind of conversation we're going to get into. And so if you are listening to this show for the first time, I want to tell you it's different every time I'm on it. So you want to make sure you catch it regularly. Put it on your schedule.
That's true. Exactly right. So on Fridays, 1 o'clock Central Time, guys, tune in or grab the replay. All right, we'll say goodbye to you guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Bye, y'all.